article, but tonight I did it again, and Wikipedia was at the top. But the day I did it, Thanksgiving, it was how to prepare a turkey. Should I roast it? Should I bake it? Should I fry it? Should we go to Cracker Barrel and let them worry about it? What should we have as sides? What desserts? And then probably fifth down the list was Wikipedia, which a lot of people don't place much stock in. So what I did was I read the Wikipedia article and then Googled keywords out of that to find their sources. And that's where I went to get my information on Thanksgiving as we know it. If you're like me, you may have been taught in elementary school that the Pilgrims and the Native Americans were the first Thanksgiving around 1620 or 1621. And you heard the story as you learned how to make a turkey out of tracing your hand. And you were taught all about, you know, all of the food that they brought. They thanked God for the harvest. But it turns out that the Pilgrims likely brought over the traditions from England, which giving thanks goes back a lot further than the English. But this is where we're going to start, from what I read on Wikipedia's source, not Wikipedia itself. The English tradition, the days of Thanksgiving and special Thanksgiving worship services were important during the Reformation, and that's a lesson all unto itself, reforming the Catholic Church. But the Catholic Church had about 95 church holidays, along with 52 Sundays, that everyone was required to attend, and a lot of times they had to pay extra to support these feasts that they would have. So in 1536, they had these reforms to reduce the number of church holidays to 27. And the real diehard Puritans wanted to get rid of all of them and just replace them with a day of fasting or a day of Thanksgiving. Now, it has been said that man has it in his nature to need to worship something, whatever that may be. I think it could also be said that we have it in us to be grateful for something and to show that gratitude. And as Christians, we should show that 365 days out of the year. Now, usually when you go to the dictionary, you have a few definitions before you get to the one that really sort of suits your purpose. I always hate when they define the word with the word. Merriam-Webster had Thanksgiving, and it said giving thanks. So thanks a lot, Merriam-Webster. The third one down said it is a prayer expressing gratitude. And in Scripture, it is showing adoration or a spirit of being grateful. In the New King James, the word thanksgiving appears 32 times, giving thanks 5 times, give thanks 40 times. The book of Leviticus uses it in the context of a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Nehemiah chapter 12, verses 8, 31, and 38 mention choirs and singing psalms of thanksgiving. We have a song in our hymnal that Gary did not know, number 949, where we sing, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. That comes from Psalm 100 and verse 4. We are to be humble before God and show him our gratitude in good times and in bad times. So what are we thankful for? Besides, you know, strapping on the feed bag tomorrow. What are we thankful for? I will tell you tonight, I'm extremely thankful to a preacher named David Sproul, who preaches at the Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, where we learn the truth, and where November 4th he did a lesson on being more thankful, which I've listened to 5 times in preparation for this. He gave me permission. I took his outline and I rearranged it, like they taught you in school, to not quote directly, but to rearrange. So what are we thankful for? We're thankful for God. In Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He gave us a place to exist, to live our lives, to be able to worship him, and to live in harmony. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not only did he create the world, but he gave us a means to be reconciled to him. Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. He gave us proof that he exists. When you walk outside and it's not dark out and you look around, you see the majesty of all that God created, and especially here in East Tennessee, when you can see the colors change and you can see the mountains, you can be truly appreciative of what God has done for us. We're thankful for Jesus. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. First John 2:1-2, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the whole world. We are thankful for the Holy Spirit, Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 2:13. 1 Peter 1:12. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. We are thankful for elders, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13. We are thankful for deacons, those who meet the qualification of deacon in 1 Timothy 3:8-13 and have accepted that position. We are thankful for those men. We are thankful for preachers. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Those who preach and teach the whole counsel of God, equipping the saints for good works, we are grateful to them. Men, we are thankful for our wives. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Ephesians 5:25. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. So wives, but grateful for husbands. We are thankful for our children. Psalm 127:3-4. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. We are thankful for this church family. We are thankful for the church that extends the world over. Romans 12:5, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2. There are three ways that we can approach God and become more thankful. The first is to open our minds to know what God expects of us. Being thankful is a command, Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be what? Be thankful. Give thanks as a command, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So if being thankful is a command of God, not being thankful would be a sin. Romans 1:21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. 2 Timothy 3:1-2, but know this, that in the last day perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, and watch this, unthankful and unholy. The second way to grow to be more thankful is to open my eyes to see what God has done for me. Not just looking around to see what God has created that I may enjoy, but as we sing, to count our blessings. God wants to be merciful toward me. Psalm 139:1, 119 and verse 132. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation and has appeared to all men. God is abundantly gracious towards me. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 1:14. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. He daily gives us things that we do not deserve. He loads us with benefits. I need to be observant. Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see. See that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. You know, I need to make a list. It'd be hard if we were all to just pass out sheets of paper right now and say, write down everything you're thankful for. But if we do it on a daily basis, we will have a list that probably the libraries of the world could not contain. If we would write down everything that we don't deserve that we have gotten from God. And the third thing is, I need to open my mouth to give God thanks. I need to go to God. I need to humble myself before God. I need to praise my God continually, not just once in a while, not just on Sundays. I need to always be thanking God. I need to give God thanks continually. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 69:30. I mentioned this earlier, Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Psalm 95, verse 2. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving to God, let your requests be known. Philippians 4 and verse 6. With the time we have left, we're going right about on time. I want you to imagine that you're in the first century and that you are afflicted with the disease of leprosy. We're going to look in Luke 17, verses 11 through 19 in a minute. Leprosy was a painful disease, not only physically, but it carried with it the burden of being outcast. You had to live outside the city. You could not have anything to do with your family. And if somebody who was clean, not afflicted with leprosy, was anywhere within your vicinity, you needed to shout unclean so that they would know to not get anywhere near you. It was obvious. It was an obvious outward sign that something was wrong. And in those days, a lot of times people thought that your physical affliction had something to do with sin. It might have been your sin. It might have been your parents' sin. As in John 2, when they asked, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? I remember, I think this was when I was in college, there was an anti-smoking ad, and there was this woman sitting there. She had a cigarette, and she was completely burnt. Her outside was just completely black and charred. And what it said on there is, if what happened on the inside happened on the outside, would you still smoke? The idea being that if you could see outwardly the destruction that was happening inwardly, would you still be doing that? Would you still be smoking? Leprosy was a way for people to see sin. And when it was in the New Testament, references to it being cured would show that removal of sin. So let's go to Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. Why did they stand afar off? Because that was the law. They could not come any closer to Jesus. And they lifted up their voice. They had to shout. They were across the way from him, and they needed for him to hear them. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. You may note that they weren't cleansed immediately. He told them what they needed to do. And when they were obedient and they went to show themselves to the priest, then they became clean. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who would return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. If we jump towards the end of this passage. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? This is where we open our mind to see what God wants of us, because Jesus was indicating he wasn't upset that it was just this one, but he was wondering, why did not all 10 return back? Verses 12 and 14, or 12 through 14, then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 lepers who stood afar off. They lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that they were cleansed. As they departed and went to show themselves to the priest, as was the law, they could see, their eyes were open to see that they were being cleansed. Verses 15 and 16, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face, at his feet, giving him thanks. He opened his mouth. And it indicates that it was not just something he did and was going to leave and I gave him my thank you note. It was that he was going to continually praise God. Are you thankful for what God has done for you? But you have not yet responded to his invitation. If you have heard the gospel, believed what you have heard, are ready to turn from your past, turn from your sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sin, you can enter a state of eternal gratitude. If you are a Christian, but your life is not demonstrating that you are still thankful for what God has done for you, you can come forward and we can pray for you. If you have any need, please come as we stand and sing.